God wants to turn your life upside down. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Stick around. We're going to talk about that on this episode of The Gary Zimak Show. Hey, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be back with you here again on Blog Talk Radio. It's Thursday today. Hope you're having a great week, and thanks for spending some time with us. We're going to continue on with our Lenten Radio Retreat. Today we will talk about how God wants to turn your life upside down. Pretty interesting, isn't it? And we've got a lot of material to cover today. It's a little bit more than we've had, so I'm going to get right to it. I want to remind you that we're doing special 15-minute broadcasts for the remainder of the week while I'm traveling. Today, I hope you got to catch it. I was on EWTN television with my wife Eileen. We were on the Jim and Joy Pinto show at home with Jim and Joy, so I hope you enjoyed the program. I'm actually pre-recording this before I flew down to Alabama, so I have to keep that in mind. That gets a little tricky for me, but I expect to be back here with you next week live on the program, and I hope these 15-minute programs will get us through while I'm gone. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the many blessings you've given to us. Thank you for being with us every step of the way on this Lenten journey. Help us to grow closer to you. Please help anyone who needs your special assistance this Lent, and help us to do what we can to draw other people closer to you. I ask you, Father, to take over this program for me and to open our minds and our hearts so that we will be receptive to the message that you have for us. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her help as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much. Oh, Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. I don't want to forget that. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. See, I'm trying to rush, and I ended up forgetting some things. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get right to it, because as I said, we've got a lot of stuff to cover today, some really good stuff. God wants to turn your life upside down. Okay, I might as well tell you now. We have been dancing all around it. Jesus wants to turn your life upside down, which, as it turns out, will be right side up. Isn't that interesting? He wants to turn your marriage upside down, your parenting upside down, your personal finances upside down, your career upside down, your health and well-being upside down, your school and church upside down. If you let Jesus turn your life upside down, you will be happier than you ever imagined was possible. And you won't just have happiness, you will have joy. Now, that sounds very appealing, doesn't it? The idea of having your life turned upside down, let's admit it, sounds scary. But this is what I'm discovering in my life, and I'm still a work in progress very much. I'm learning that the more I let the Lord take control of my life and turn it upside down, the more happy and joyful I become. But we have that resistance to it because it's scary. It really can be scary. This is what Jesus does. He radically transforms the lives of the people he encounters by rearranging their priorities. Perhaps that is why we avoid a deeply personal encounter with Jesus, because we are afraid of that radical transformation. But you'll look back in a few years from now and think on things you thought were so very important today and realize they were not, and that your new priorities have more truth, beauty, and wisdom. And I can honestly say that when I look back over the course of my life, since I've had a serious conversion and a desire to get closer to Christ, I see this happening in my life. I look back on things that used to mean something to me, and the attraction is not there anymore. What I really desire in life are these spiritual gifts, these spiritual treasures. Number one being a personal, close personal relationship with the Lord. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus challenging people's priorities and in the process, radically transforming their lives. Do you have a favorite story of transformation from the Gospels? The story of Zacchaeus is a wonderful and radical tale of transformation. It is a very short story, but there are some beautiful lines. It begins by telling us who Zacchaeus was, and then it says he was trying to see who Jesus was. This tells us that he was proactively seeking Jesus. He was making an effort. He was curious. Zacchaeus climbed a tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus, and Jesus called him down from the tree and invited himself to dinner at Zacchaeus' house. We are then told, so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. There is no record of Jesus saying Zacchaeus should do this or that he must change his life. Jesus' presence was apparently enough to transform Zacchaeus, who said to him, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. He didn't need anyone to tell him what he should do. His own heart prescribed the transformation that was needed. Are we proactively seeking Jesus? Are we making an effort to experience him? Are we curious about him? Are we in a hurry to meet him? Are we happy to welcome him? What change is your heart prescribing for your life? The Gospels present a constant flow of people meeting Jesus. Each of them responded differently. Few responded with the unbridled enthusiasm of Zacchaeus. We could be tempted to think that the various responses were due to external circumstances, but it's more likely that the variety of responses is due to disposition of heart. We see this in the story of the 10 lepers who Jesus cured. They all encountered Jesus the healer, but only one returned with a grateful heart. Now, what I don't want to do on this show today or any other day is just spend all of my time reading, but we have so much material here that if I was to read the entire text, it would just take up the whole show. So we might skim over a bit because you could read the book on your own. I want to make sure that we understand this point. Matthew talks about this desire to have an encounter with Jesus and the incredible effect of the encounter, the personal encounter with Jesus. In my new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, I talk about the same thing. And I mentioned the story of Zacchaeus as well as many other stories of people who encountered Jesus. When we encounter Jesus, when we have that personal encounter with Jesus Christ in our lives, we are affected in some way. We're affected in some way. And it's generally a very big way. But sometimes what happens is we're afraid or don't think that this encounter is possible. And then therefore we avoid it. It really is possible. It's possible to have a close personal encounter with Jesus. Mr. Kelly talks about the story of Nicodemus as well. Nicodemus, we first read of Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the night, presumably so nobody would see him consulting Jesus. They conversed, and then Nicodemus said, how can these things be? This is in John chapter 3. For many people, their first encounter with Jesus was enough to bring about a profession of faith and a radical transformation. But for others, it was not. Nicodemus only had questions. People often have a deep yearning, a sense that there must be more to life, but there is some great truth that they have not yet to discover. Perhaps this is what Nicodemus was experiencing when he first approached Jesus. Later, Nicodemus tried to defend Jesus by saying to the other Pharisees, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? John 7:51. Finally, when we read of Nicodemus accompanying Joseph of Arimathea to ask Pilate for Jesus' body, he brought with him 75 pounds of aloe and myrrh. Together, the two men took Jesus' body down from the cross, carried it to the tomb, and wrapped it with spices and linen for burial. One of the Christian works of mercy is to bury the dead. What Joseph and Nicodemus did here was one of the ultimate works of mercy in history. Nicodemus did all this at great personal risk to his reputation and safety. Think of the incredible courage this would have required. Now, what kept Nicodemus from a wholehearted embrace of Jesus? He was worried about what people thought. That is the most likely explanation for why he came to Jesus at night. He was a wise and learned man, but often it seems the uneducated came to Jesus more willingly than the educated. What we do know is that Nicodemus had a persistent desire to seek and find the truth. Only good things can come from continually seeking truth. In each of these people who encounter Jesus, we find a place, we find a piece of ourselves. Who cannot resonate in some way with the rich young man? And then he goes on to tell the story of the rich young man. We've heard this story many times. The man who really has a sincere desire to follow Jesus Christ in his life, but was ultimately, and you can watch the dialogue progress. Watch the dialogue progress in Mark chapter 10. And ultimately, the rich young man was unwilling to part with his many possessions. And he walked away from the Lord. He went away sad because when Jesus told him to let go of his possessions, because that's the way he was truly going to follow him, then when he asked for how I could follow you and how I could have eternal life, make it to heaven one day, Jesus said, you have to leave your possessions. Obviously, Jesus knew that this rich young man was attached to his possessions. And I think sometimes we are afraid to let go of the possessions in our life because of the fact that we're just comfortable and we are not willing to turn our lives, to have our lives turned upside down. You know, so that's a really important thing for us to remember. Are we willing to have our lives turned upside down? Are we willing to let Jesus really do something powerful in our life? Are we willing? This is a question we have to really ask for, each of us has to answer for ourselves. Are we willing to part with anything that may be keeping us away from a closer relationship with Christ? That something will be different for every one of us. We all have something that keeps us. I know I have some things in my life that I have struggled to let go. It might just be our sense of comfort. We don't want to step out of our comfort zone. And I would encourage you to, whatever that is today in your life, to say, yes, Lord, either, yes, Lord, I'm willing to give it up, or, Lord, please help me to give it up, especially if it gets in the way of your relationship with him. And I would recommend you read some of this material a little bit more. I'm not going to read it all because I don't want to just read. Matthew Kelly talks about St. Paul when he was on the road, traveling on the road to Damascus. And he encountered Jesus, an absolutely incredible story of conversion. Jesus was a radical, and he wants to have a radical impact in your life. The gospel is a radical invitation to surrender and transformation. It was radical 2,000 years ago, and it is still radical today. Is it less radical to love your enemy today than it was 2,000 years ago? Is it easier to love your enemy today than it was then? No. Why? Because these things are personal. They are about you. They are lessons that we each must learn to embrace and live for ourselves. The gospel has had a radical impact on countless lives since Jesus walked the earth and is guaranteed to have a radical impact on your life if you open yourself up to it. Today's point to ponder, be open. Today's verse to live, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. Question to consider, and it's a biggie, what's preventing you from making yourself available to God? And finally, Jesus, our prayer. Jesus, I make myself 100% available to you today. Wow, lot to digest. Give it some time, read it over, and God willing, we'll meet back here again tomorrow. Okay, have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.